Worship team this morning. Well, two things this morning. Three things I forgot. One is with the digital registration and stuff, parents, you can do that anytime you come in. You don't have to wait till halfway through the service. You can just come in the morning, go to one of those things, and check your kids in. So that's great. Secondly, about that, where's Alex Rabak? Where are you? Where is he? Someone's pointing. I don't know where he is. He's always doing the registration thing. So Alex did a co-op this summer, and he killed it. He did awesome. He helped us change our whole database registration, the whole thing system over to this great new thing we're using and have been wanting to transition to for a while and just couldn't. And God really worked everything out, and we are so thankful for him, and you will never probably know all that he did. We do, and so I wanted to publicly say thanks. He did awesome. So, somebody let him know we clap. So that's great. And a final thing, we have a really special birthday today. Eric. Where's Eric?
9/11.
Yeah. Eric, it's Eric's birthday. He'd hate it us to say that, but I just want to say happy birthday. So why don't we sing happy birthday to Eric, even if he doesn't want it? He's sitting down. I'll cover this so you don't hear me. Ready? Happy. If you want to know how old he is, you have to ask him. Or ask his son. That's great. Well, listen, you cannot get moving sitting still. Do you know that? You can't keep moving sitting still. If you're sitting still, you're not moving. You can't have it both ways. You're either moving or you're sitting still. You can't keep moving by sitting still. So today, I want us to be able to answer the question, what's my next step? What's my next step? Next steps are about movement. They're about spiritual maturity and growth happens through steps of obedience. And I want us all to leave today with a next step of obedience in spiritual growth. You cannot keep moving, and we're to keep moving, keep growing. We never stay still. Jesus is always calling us to something. And so today I want us to understand our next step. Now, we as a church can offer all sorts of ideas and all sorts of help on how to get you growing and connected and involved, on how to keep you moving. But guess what? We can't make you move. I can try to make you move. It's just not polite. So I can't make you move. Our church structures, our church programs, all the stuff we do is in place for you and for the glory of God. It's so that you will be spiritually mature, and as you're growing, you would be sharing Jesus with others. And so we gather to spur one another on to love and good works, as Hebrews says. So I can't make you do that, but our steps are really important. Let me tell you what I mean. About two and a half years ago, I went to an information time with Randall Benbow over at Faith Church, and it was for this thing called Church Renewal. And I just went. I thought it was, you know, something like anything else, and there was a free lunch, so it sounded good. So I went, and I listened. But my heart had been, for some time, I'd been working with one of my mentors, our regional minister, Claren Martin, on just some deeper spiritual things, wanting to take our church a little bit deeper. And I was looking at some different things, and I wasn't happy with this or this, and there's all sorts of trappings here, and I just wanted something that made a little more sense for our personality, who God has called us to be, who we are. And I just didn't find anything. And so I went to that, and they laid out this thing, come out west of Steinbeck, and it's a Canadian church renewal movement, and we don't say revival because that has some stuff with it. It's about being spiritually renewed. And they said all the things that I'd been praying, and it was great and good. And I went home, and I kind of thought, well, I should probably go west and see this thing. But here's the deal. I've been to lots of conferences, read lots of books, done lots of stuff, and I just don't buy it anymore, right? I'm like, okay. And I sat on it for about a year. And I knew that day God was saying, you need to go with your wife and go to this thing. There's something I have for you through this. And you need to take that obedient step. But I explained it away because it's just another conference and I don't want to pay money and I, you know, all of this stuff. And finally, after a year of wrestling, Stephanie and the elders finally just said, go already. Like, you're wrestling through this. You need to go. So Stephanie and I went out last May. And that wasn't the movement part. That was the obedient step. Through doing that, I was exposed to some, I go through online mentoring every week with groups of pastors from all over Canada, the Hearing God Seminar, our prayer gatherings, the way we think about prayer and church and renewal, and a lot of things have changed around here because of that. It's not the program. It's not the program. But my obedient step did something for me in my life. I've never had as close a relationship with God, and it's just been wonderful for me. And it's not about the program, it's not about the thing, it's not about the conference, not about the movement. It's about Jesus and what he's calling us to. And so my small step of obedience has meant a lot for me and my family and our church family here. And we all need next steps. You can't keep moving standing still. If you're standing still, you're not going to be moving. And Jesus is always calling us to something. We need to move. We need to keep moving. We need to keep growing. We need to be moving forward. And Jesus is always with his disciples, giving something new and giving them a new task and allowing them to experience something new. We bring new songs. It's not that God is sick of the old. He just is about the journey. He knows what the end is. We know what the end is. Resurrection, Jesus comes, and we know that. That's our hope. But in the meantime, we can't sit still, can we? I want to be like Jonathan. Do you know who Jonathan is? He's in the Old Testament. He's Saul's son. Now, Saul was the first king of Israel. God said, don't get a king. I don't want to give you a king. You don't want a king. He's going to tax you and take all your people and your money and have wars and all this stuff. You're going to be in a world of hurt. But if that's what you want, yeah, I'll give it to you. So they pick Saul. He's head and shoulders above the rest. Looked like a great leader, and he really wasn't. He's taken away very quickly into his reign, and God sets David up, but it takes about 20 years for David to actually take the throne. And Jonathan is Saul's son. Jonathan is David, who would eventually become king. He's his best friend. And we find in Jonathan a different quality. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Samuel 14, because I want to look at Jonathan this morning, because I want to be more like Jonathan. Jonathan took a next step. Jonathan took a bold, crazy step of obedience. And it changed his life and it changed the tide of the war. Now, at that time, the Philistines, who had been, if you were here in the summer and we looked at the judges and Samson, and about 50 years before all this happened, Samson struggled with these Philistines too. These same Philistines who later on, David would face their giant on the battlefield and God would miraculously win. These same Philistines. And so the Israelites are over here and the Philistines are over here. And we know from this text that their scouts could see one another. So they were within attacking distance and they're just at a stalemate. They're at a standstill. And in 1 Samuel 14, we read this. One day, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost. But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. Jonathan wasn't being disobedient. He's just sitting there going, we got to get moving. We got to do something. Let's just go check it out. Let's go. We'll check it out. You and me, we'll just take off. He wasn't being disobedient. He wasn't being disrespectful. He just couldn't take it anymore. Sometimes you just gotta move. You just gotta move. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Gibeah, around the pomegranate tree. That's a good place to camp, at Migron. Among Saul's men was Ahijah, the priest, who was wearing the ephod, the priestly vest. Ahijah was the son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord, who had served at Shiloh. So they've got a well-known priest. He's got his priestly garments. They're ready to go. They're not trying to go ahead of God. But no one realized that Jonathan had left the Israelite camp. To reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down between two rocky cliffs that were called Bozez and Senna. The cliff on the north was in front of Michmash, and the one on the south was in front of Gibeah. So if you look at the map here, you can get a little bit of an idea. So they're camped out here. Here's the Philistine outpost. So there's these two cliffs, and the Philistines are on one side, and Jonathan had to go down in between one and go up into the other. Now, there are times to wait, okay? If you've gone to the Hearing God seminar, you know, we wait, we listen to God, we wait for him. But there are certain things, certain times where we don't have God's clear guidance. We have his general guidance of what he generally wants us to do. And some people just wait. Well, that's not in my wheelhouse. I'm not passionate about that thing. And God's just saying, look, when you see God moving, you get on board. There's this wonderful book that was put out a number of years ago called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. It's a classic. It's wonderful. One of the things he says in there, figure out what God is doing and get on board. Get going. That's a very rough paraphrase. What a wonderful teaching. And Jonathan's doing the same thing. He's not being disobedient. He's not usurping God and saying, I don't care what God says, I'm going to go do this. God is clearly stirring him up, but isn't giving him specific instructions. Sometimes God's a wonderful father, and he just watches us, and he gives us some wonderful choices, and he's kind of like, I know what he's going to choose, but I'm going to let him choose. I'm going to let her choose these good things, these ways to obey me. Let's go across to the outpost of those pagans, Jonathan said to the armor bearer. Perhaps the Lord will help us. What? Oh, maybe you didn't catch that. I'll read that again. Let's go across to the outpost of those pagans, Jonathan said to his armor bearer. Perhaps the Lord will help us. Okay. Us two are going to climb down a cliff and back up a cliff to where the other army is. To run away, we have to climb down said cliff and up said other cliff back to our people for safety. Let's climb down the cliff and back up the other cliff, and perhaps God will do something. Maybe God will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. Here's what his armor bearer says. Do whatever you think is best. I'm with you completely, whatever you decide. I'm in. Jonathan's actions affected that armor bearer. The armor bearer wasn't about to do that, but he was all in. He had faith too. Sometimes your next step, what you do, is just the spark that others need to get moving to. All right, then Jonathan told them, we'll cross over and let them see us. What? If they sue to us, stay where you are or we'll kill you, then we'll stop and not go up to them. But if they say, come on up and fight, then we will go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them. So Jonathan's not telling God what to do, but he's giving God a bit of a test and a sign. He's saying, God, I can't fully hear you clearly. I know these pagans, you want us, they're oppressing us. You've called us to overthrow them and be set free from their reign of tyranny. And so if you go with us, here's the sign. I'm not hearing you clearly, but I know that you want me to do something. And if you say, if they say, come on up when they see us, then we know you're with us. If they say, stay, we know that you're telling us not to go. So while his father Saul was worried about how many men he had and counting everything up and planning out this war, Jonathan just says, enough's enough. It's time to get moving. And interestingly enough in the text, this specific narrative is sandwiched between two distinct acts of disobedience by Saul. It's glaring how great Jonathan obeys and how much Saul disobeys. So in effect, Jonathan is saying, I'm going to go and do the godly thing. I'm just going to get moving. What faith? They literally had to climb down one cliff and up the other. Anybody ever seen Princess Bride? Okay, you know the cliff scene, the three thieves and Dread Pirate Wesley or Roberts or whatever you want to say is climbing up that rope and they look over and it says, inconceivable. They're climbing down. You know that one, right? They can cut the rope, drop a rock on top of him. He's completely helpless while he's climbing. No help at all. That's exactly what's going on with Jonathan. That is the place he put himself in to take a crazy step of obedience. And he just went and did it. When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes. Then the men from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, come on up and we'll teach you a lesson. Come on up, climb right behind me, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, for the Lord will help us defeat them. The last thing these Philistines were thinking of is two people were a problem. Like they're all gathered there and they kind of look down the cliff and, oh, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes. Come on, We'll teach you a lesson. Yep, you come on up. Sit back and wait for these guys to crawl on up. Here's what happens. So they climbed up. Listen to this. They climbed up using both hands and feet. As soon as they knew God was in it, away they went. They didn't delay. You ever gone at something with both hands and feet, just with all your being? You're like, I'm in this, let's go. They were all in. They went for it. And the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed those who came behind him. What a scene. They killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered all over about a half an acre. Suddenly, panic broke out in the Philistine army, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outposts and the raiding parties. The whole place, the whole military encampment, panic broke out. And just then, an earthquake struck, and everyone was terrified. Jonathan didn't know exactly what God was going to do. He just knew he needed to do something. And along the way, he gave God opportunity to lead him specifically. And once he knew God was in it, he went for it. And when he went for it, God showed up. And an earthquake comes. Saul's lookouts at Gibeah of Benjamin saw a strange sight. So they're looking across this. The vast army of Philistines began to melt away in every direction. Once you're in motion, it's hard to get stopped. Look what else happened. Saul's lookouts at Gibeah of Benjamin saw a strange sight. The vast army of Philistines began to melt away in every direction. Call the roll and find out who's missing. So Saul still doesn't know his son's gone. They're looking and they're like, what on earth's going on? There's panic. They can see the raiding camp. It's just the Philistines are going nuts and they don't know what's going on. So they call the roll. And when they checked, they found that Jonathan and his armor bearer were gone. If that was your son, and you figured maybe he's over there, you'd probably panic. Here's what he does. Then Saul shouted to Ahijah, bring the ephod here. Saul actually does the right thing. He asked the priest, he said, look, bring the ephod here. Priest, come here, let's pray. Let's find out exactly what God wants us to do. Not a bad thing. For at that time, Ahijah was wearing the ephod. And the ephod had some things about it, how they would make decisions. There's a whole process I'm not going to get into, but that's the way they would decide and discern what God was leading, was with that ephod and the priest. So Ahijah was wearing the ephod in front of the Israelites. But when Saul was talking to the priest, the confusion in the Philistine camp grew louder and louder. So Saul said to the priest, never mind, let's get going. So he's trying to do the right thing. And there are times when we wait and we pray and we struggle and we need God's specific guidance. And there's other times where we just know the right thing and we need to say, never mind, it's not all prepared, it's not all together, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going for it. I'm climbing with both hands, both feet, I'm grabbing my army, and we're just heading out. We're just going to go and do this. And God used one man to stir up an army of Israelites. How's this end? Then Saul and all his men rushed out to battle and found the Philistines killing each other. There was a terrible confusion everywhere. Even the Hebrews who had previously gone over to the Philistine army. So there were some people who revolted, left the Israelite camp and said, we are doomed. I'm going to fight on the winning side with the Philistines. They even turned. Even the Hebrews who had previously gone over to the Philistine army revolted and joined with Saul. Jonathan's one act of obedience turned the hard-hearted, the backslidden, those who had wandered away, back to God. And the rest of the Israelites, likewise, the men of Israel who were hiding in the hill country, those who were too afraid to act, joined the chase when they saw the Philistines running away. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle continued to rage even beyond Beth Avon. We can't keep moving, standing still. You can't keep moving, standing still. You can't follow Jesus and sit still. You can't grow and sit still. You can't be connected to one another and not do anything about a lack of connection. You can't hope to live before a world who needs Jesus and not do anything to get involved, do anything about it. Jesus calls us generally to three things. He calls us to follow him. He calls us to help each other follow him, and he calls us to invite others to follow him. So he calls us to follow him and grow spiritually. He calls us to help each other as we follow him, and he calls us to invite others to follow him. Another way to think about this is that he calls us to be growing He calls us to be connected. He calls us to be involved. We need to be growing to be more like Jesus as we follow him. We can't sit still. We need to be growing. We need to be connected to each other. So helping and being helped to follow Jesus. We need that. We have to meet. We need each other. We are lost. You cannot follow Jesus on your own. You just can't. It doesn't work. It's not the way Jesus set things up. And you need to be involved in serving and blessing others. Why? Because it softens hearts. When people see you living and helping and serving in the name of Jesus, it creates opportunities for them to invite, to be invited to follow Jesus too. Outside that, there's not a hope. You can't hope to have a theological discussion with someone when you're not serving, blessing, being available. Eventually, you need to speak Jesus. We can't just by our actions show who Jesus is. That's the first step. We need to be doing these three things. And it's interesting how Jesus did this with his disciples, isn't it? He had at least 72 who he would call disciples. We tend to think of the disciples as only the 12. He had at least 72 that he sent out at one point. So we know the group was larger than that. He gathered together in large groups regularly like we do on Sundays. He gathered together and he taught them and he sent them out and he did things. We do that. He had a small group who we know as apostles. Sometimes we call them the 12 disciples, who he lived with for 3.5 years. And they were family to one another. And he invested his life. He needed them. Do you get that? He needed them, and they needed him. And then he had this other really close group of Peter, James, and John. Frequently, he'd pull these guys aside and say, Peter, James, and John, you come over here. Those were his close friends. Those were his people, for lack of a better term, who he could call on. In modern times, would be the people you can call at 2 a.m., or when you're really struggling, or when you need something, or when you have to do renovations, right? You call these people, right? It's his people. And then he had just him and God. He got away privately. And so as a church, we're really trying hard to follow the biblical model so that we are doing these three things in these four ways. And we call it the way of Jesus. It seems a little confusing, but follow me for a minute. Jonathan knew he needed to get over to the Philistines. And so he just said, what? Let's just go over and check it out. He kind of knew the lay of the land. That's kind of like us knowing that, all right, we need to be growing and following Jesus. We need to be connected to each other because we can't do it alone. We need to be sharing Jesus and with others and serving and blessing the world. I kind of know that. That's great. Okay, Jesus had this large group, small group, close group. He had quiet times with his Father. I know all that. Great, thanks. But you need a plan. You need a plan. It's not enough that Jonathan knew where his army was, where the other army was, the background, the history, what they could do, battle, tactics, all this stuff. He had to actually have a plan. And so his plan was this. I'm going to take my armor bearer. I'm going to go over. I'm going to climb down this cliff, up the other. I'm going to ask, or if they invite me up, I'll go. And if they don't, they stay. That's it. It's a very simple plan. He just did what? He did one thing. Just one thing. And one of the things in our denomination and in our church that we use as a foundation or a model or a plan, much like Jonathan's plan to try and get all this big general information tied down into one thing, into a plan, we call the way of Jesus. It's seven statements that's a framework or they're guiding statements to help us grow in Jesus, help us stay connected with one another, and help us be involved in the world that we might invite them to follow Jesus too. So these seven statements. His life, I've begun following Jesus. I'm depending on Jesus in my journey. Are you doing that? His mission, I'm being sent by Jesus to bless others, invite them to follow him too. His character, I am becoming like Jesus in my attitudes, my behaviors, my characters. His love, I am learning to love God and love others. His teachings, I'm learning the teachings of Jesus. Not just the teachings of Jesus, but all the Bible. I'm learning biblical teaching. His disciples. I'm helping someone. Doug talked about a disciple group. A few men, some women here are getting their people, two or three people. I'm helping someone. Someone's helping me and my community. I'm participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission, moving, doing something. If all we do, okay, if all we do is gather on Sundays, have some food, sing some songs, hear some teaching, and go home. That's sitting still. That's sitting still. There has to be more. How do you do all this? How on earth will I do all this? The wonderful thing is that Jesus doesn't call you to do it all the time. Jesus always taught short parables, called us to one thing. And so today I just want to call you to one next step. One next step. As a church, we're working real hard to figure this all out and to help you with all of this. But I want to call us to one thing so that we can be people helping people follow Jesus. I can't make you get up in the morning and spend time with Jesus, but I can teach you how to do that. We can't make you be family with a smaller group of believers. Doesn't matter if they are here or somewhere else. A smaller group of Christians who are your family. I can't make that happen. But we can certainly have small groups where if you don't have that, you can find that. I can't make you have close relationship with two or three other people so that they're your people. But we can certainly gather together. And you can certainly be introduced to others as you serve and attend and go through all this. And God can open that door as you pray so that you have lifelong lasting people in your life who love Jesus too and who are holding you accountable. I can't make all that happen. You have to do that happen. Jonathan had to do something. It was up to him. I had to actually book a plane ticket, tell my wife we're going out to Steinbach, Manitoba. There's nothing there. And we're going to go to this thing. And God's telling me to go to this thing. And it's going to actually be good for us. I had to do all that stuff. One small act of obedience goes a long way. So let me give you some ideas of a next step. I just want you to do one. Okay, I have some clarifications at the end of this. In case you're going, oh my word, I have so much. How can you ask me to do one more thing? I'm not asking you to do one more thing, and I'll clarify that. One step. What's your next step? Growth. We need to be growing. Jesus called us to be growing followers. Here's some things. Prayer gathering. Come to prayer gathering. If you don't know how to pray, that's where we learn to pray. You might think, oh, I'm not a good prayer. All these prayer giants are going there. None of us are prayer giants. We're learning to pray together. We need to pray together. That's the single most important thing we can do as a church. More important than Sunday morning is gathering to prayer. Come tonight, 6 p.m. It's a great time. Family devotions and godly home life. There's nothing we can do here to make that happen. We can teach you that. We can teach on family. We're starting that next week. But you need to be doing that. Maybe you take a step in your personal quiet time to make that deeper or better or even begin that. Maybe it's a Sunday service. So those things in blue are some of the most common things that people do. And here's some other things. Go to Hearing God seminar this fall. Be baptized. Get your baby dedicated. Join a discipling huddle. These are all great ways to grow. So there's some ideas. Now you've got some ideas. What about if God's encouraging you in connection? What are some things you could do? Well, you could go to a newcomers gathering. There's a potlucks, next step seminar. That's a brand new thing this year. It's just to help you understand who we are, how to get involved, what are some things we do, what do we believe as a church, and it kind of leads into membership, but we'll talk more about that later. Join a small group. Those are great ways. And if you're a student, a 20-something, a teen, go to student ministry. Get your kids in children's ministry. Go to college and careers. Get connected some way. And some other ways are Forever Young. It's 55 plus once a month, great meal. Men's and women's events, you'll hear more about that in church membership. All of these things that I've said, and the next thing I'm going to say too, it's all in the newsletter, it's on the website. You can find that. You have to find that. You have to do that. I can't make that happen, but I can at least give you opportunities. Last one is getting involved. We all need to be serving. Begin to serve. Find somewhere in the church. There's lots of roles. If you're not serving somewhere, do that. It's for you and it's for others. It's wonderful. Find somewhere in your community. Find some way to impact the world. Maybe you don't find anything. Maybe you get involved in a missions organization or you go over to Peru or you do something. Find somewhere. Do something. You cannot move sitting still. Do something. Some other ways, Next Step Seminar will help you find ways here. I can't lay out for you every volunteer option in your community, but you can find them. But I can at least talk about church here. And protection plan training. If you want to work with kids, youth, or vulnerable adults, you have to go through protection plan training. That's in a couple weeks on a Thursday night. Great stuff. What's your one step this fall? I'm going to close with this. What's your one step this fall? Two things I want you to know. You cannot add without subtraction. You can't add without subtraction. If you're looking to add something quantitatively, add something new. I'm going to join a small group. I'm going to do something new. You got to subtract something. You got to pick what the priority is. If you want to spend more time with God, it means less sleep or less TV or something like that. You have to subtract something unless you've got lots of free time. And I can look at your faces and tell that everyone has a really easy life and nothing going on. So you have to subtract. Jesus will always call you to something new. And sometimes it's quantitative and you need to subtract something for something better. You need to give up something, even if you're holding tight to it. Jonathan gave up safety and what made sense so that God could do something great through his life. And for some of you, it's qualitative. You're going to do the same thing, but better and different. And God is calling you to a different way of living, a different lifestyle. You're still living in your neighborhood, but it's going to be different in how you are present with your neighbors, or it's different at home, or it's different how you spend time with him, or it's different how you serve. Whether it's quantitative or qualitative, you can't add without subtraction. So figure out what you're going to set aside so that God can do that new thing. And secondly, I've already mentioned this, your small act of obedience, your next step isn't about you. We're so selfish, self-minded, aren't we? I am completely. I'm always thinking about me and God, what do you have for me? And when I go to him in my quiet times, what do you have for me, God? More often than not, it's not about me. But he starts with me and he asks me to obey. Your next step is not necessarily about you. It might be about your spouse, your family, your friend, your neighbors, the church. Do you know what sets renewal, a church into renewal? It's everyday people who set a spark, who take small steps of obedience that make huge kingdom impact. Get growing. Get connected. Get involved. You cannot keep moving standing still. What's your next step? You see that on, well, we don't have it on our leadership stuff because I made them pick a next step already. you have, hello, my name is, and your name, and my next step is. You can fill that out before you leave or just take it home. Stick it in your Bible. Decide what your next step is, but do it. Don't just be, hey, I think I'll share it with someone, stay accountable, do it. And we're going to close the service with the next step that some people need to take. For some of you, you're really struggling, and you're hurting, and you're confused. You've got some health stuff. You've got some things coming up, and it's just overwhelming. And so after I pray to close our service, if you need prayer, if you need anointing with oil by our elders for healing, whether it's spiritual, physical, financial, relational, whatever it is, you just come to the front. So, I mean, by all means, people, eat the food, get the coffee, but let's do it a little quieter. I'm going to ask that anyone who wants prayer, just come up here. Some people don't like when we do it in church and all eyes are on you. No, it's not like that. Very informal. Let's be sensitive and quiet as we pack up chairs and things like that. But if you need prayer this morning, our ministry team and our elders are here for you as long as you need this morning. And you just come forward and we will pray for you. We will listen. And we will ask God to do that thing in you, that next thing that you're longing for, you're waiting for, that you just can't see happening. More than anything, I want us to leave encouraged and ready to go. We're in a new season, new fall. Subtract something to add something. Get going. Be like Jonathan. I want us all to be like Jonathan. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be amazing? Maybe you're the person who's the spark. Maybe you're the spark for your small group, for your family, for our church that we need. I believe that. I hope you do too. So I'm going to pray. Why don't we stand? And then if you want prayer, you just simply come forward. By all means, have coffee, eat, pack up the chairs, but let's just do that a little bit quieter this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us the example of Jonathan. Even though he came from a family where his dad didn't follow you at all very well, or at least got way off track. I pray for each person here, each household, each group, each friend group. I pray for those who are guests here too, God. I pray that all of us would take a next step, that you would knit us together as a close-knit family who's following you. Know our next steps. We may not know the outcome. Give us courage to do what we need to do. May we see others follow suit. We love you. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for being here this morning. If you'd like prayer, just come up to the front and we'll pray with you.